Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
So I leap from the gallows and I levitate down your street. Crash the party like a record scratch as I scream.
Good evening, guys. This is Shay Stevens with Shasta Unmasked, KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Tonight's show is the Charter Bus Chase, Local Immigration Issues. We have a guest in the studio tonight, Pastor Megan Owens, and we're here to talk about the impact of unconscious bias and racial undertones in our community. Please tell us a little bit about yourself, Pastor Megan.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. I am Pastor Megan Owens. I am the pastor of the Pilgrim Congregational United Church of Christ. I have been the settled pastor there for about 2 years, working with that community to be a voice of light and welcome in Shasta County and in Redding. I grew up in Washington, D.C., and I've been living in California now since 2006. First in Redding, then in Southern California, and back to Redding.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about why you chose to come here tonight and talk with us.
Yeah, the issue of immigration, illegal immigration, trying to define what that is fraught. And I feel that we're having the same kinds of conversations around that we had when I was growing up, and I was very influenced growing up in a church that was a sanctuary church, so that's my bias, and learning about the complexity of immigration, the complexity of our southern border, and really from my feeling that human beings cannot be illegal. Human beings are human beings. There are discussions to be had. There are balances to be had about the way immigration happens. But this is not a new discussion. It becomes vociferous at times, at certain times when it's politically expedient for certain people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that as communities, we need to be aware of the sources of immigration, who's coming and why, mm-hmm. and not look at everyone who we think we don't understand as a dangerous stranger that's a threat to our way of life.
Right. And it's not black and white, right?
Like, absolutely not.
These things are so complex. And when we think about, like, I always go back to my own children and my own family because mm-hmm. that's the way that I can relate to other human beings.
Right.
And I think about how blessed I am, how lucky I am to have been born in the United States, right? This is sheer luck. Like, I did nothing. I didn't do anything to be blessed to be where I am in this place, in this time. And I feel like there are so many people that just take that for granted and then have this unfounded fear of others.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a little bit we're going to talk some more about othering. But let's talk about on April 23rd how our Board of Supervisors passed this resolution. It was R3 on April 23rd, and it says, receive a presentation from the Sheriff's Office regarding border control and adopt a resolution regarding response and services to the abandonment of asylum seekers and non-citizen migrants in Shasta County, sponsored by Supervisor Cray.
Yes.
So when you were there, I was there, we watched the presentation from Sheriff Johnson,
yes.
which was so one-sided.
Absolutely.
And it was, I mean, Cry asked him to come and do that presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked him to do that presentation so that he could pass this resolution.
Exactly.
So it was already set up to be a one-sided presentation.
Yeah.
What did you glean from that?
From that presentation?
Mm-hmm.
it felt to me like a really good PowerPoint presentation to take to classes about propaganda. It was clearly imagery used to incite and create fear. It was half-truths about real dangerous situations for both migrants and Border Patrol officers and citizens of both Mexico and the United States. It simplified a complex situation, boiled it down to they're coming to get you.
Right.
And that was its purpose.
Right.
To pass this resolution, which is simply a statement that refugees and immigrants are not welcome here.
Right.
That one side of the mouth of this resolution claims that we don't have the resources. The other, we can't take resources that are available.
Right.
A budget is a moral document.
Right. Kevin Cry said, this is the compassionate response because we can't afford them.
But on the other side of it, it says that it is determined, and now I'm reading from the resolution, whereas the county has determined that it will not seek or accept any state or federal tax dollars in support of providing sanctuary for asylum seekers and or non-citizen migrants. We have to talk about that term at some point.
Right.
So it's at the same time saying we will not accept resources that could help these people, and we don't have the resources, so we won't help these people. We're going to put them on a plane like the governor of Florida and send them to a sanctuary city.
Right. Which is really a political response, right?
Yeah, exactly. What? It's a simple politically – it's a political fear-mongering document.
Right.
It's to garner support from people who are always afraid, who – are worried that their way of life is dying, who are more worried about the inheritance of themselves than being the country we aspire to be.
Right. And Sheriff Johnson's quote of the day, my favorite, was, my wife is an immigrant, but she did it the right way.
Yeah. Cry said the same thing.
Yeah. She did it the right way.
Married him?
Right. I don't know what the right way...
That's an interesting question because No, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
And then he finished that with, she knows that the American flag will always fly above her flag in our house.
Right.
As if we have all these people coming from the South that are saying, we are going to put our flag above your flag and we want to take your resources and we want to take your culture. And it seems so... clickbaity.
Yeah, it's definitely clickbaity. I feel like I don't know our sheriff or Supervisor Cry personally enough to state that this is how they feel, so do not come at me for that. But my impression is that they are people who really have not had experience of people with first-generation parents or growing up in homes of immigrant parents. Or listen to stories, real stories about people fleeing a place and the difficulties here and, you know, great, I applaud you. You have, you fell in love with someone not from here and you married her and she came here, or maybe she was here legally before that, perhaps on a student visa. I don't know the story either.
Yeah.
But there's so many, and that's my where I come down, is that there are so many stories, and there's no line, and there's never been a line. Right. And the line and the right way to do it and the legal way is a fabricated idea that is put forth by those who protest the complexities of the realities of immigration. And... I feel like in many cases, I'm not saying that's the case here, in many cases, protesting the Browning of the United States.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break here in just a sec. But when we come back, we're going to talk about how educating yourself if you're not being educated in your community, is the best way to learn more compassion. Right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. We're going to go to break.
Somebody call me
refugee.
Somebody call me
refugee.
Somebody call me
refugee.
And I'll wear it proudly.
Refugee.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474, for your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet. Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Hey guys, we are back with Pastor Megan Owens, and I think Ashley's on the line now too. Ashley, are you there?
I am.
All right, yay. Have you been here listening the whole time?
Of course, yes, of
okay,
course.
Awesome. Is there anything you'd like to add before we move forward?
No, I just think that what you were saying about the supervisors and the resolution that they passed, I thought it was like an extra step. Just an extra spike to say we also will not accept any extra funding.
Right.
That was just a way of saying, you know, just no and extra no.
Right.
So it was infuriating watching that go down because, yeah, that's all.
it's more disturbing to me. It's not just infuriating. It's disturbing as an educator because I know the kind of power that you hold when you are in a position to teach people, and when you're given the opportunity to do that and you choose to spew racism, that seeps into your community. People are watching. People are listening.
Oh, and absolutely.
Just 10 days before that resolution was passed, on April 13th, local self-proclaimed friend and supporter of Kevin Cry, Michelle Dugar, posted a video of a charter bus with brown people standing next to it. And this was her comment that was attached to that video. Just saw a large tour bus drop off about 100 illegals at the Fast Track gas station by In-N-Out on Churn Creek. I confronted them. I saw this when I got off the freeway and saw men scattering. This is who was left when I got to the bus. All young men. I talked to the driver, telling him it wasn't okay. And she says she confronted them in caps. Now, there are a ton of comments that went along with this. This was in Stake in NorCal on Facebook. And there are a whole bunch of hateful, horrible comments that came after this. But there's so much wrong with this whole post because there's no proof of who these people were. There isn't, like, she's spewing this hateful rhetoric with nothing to back it up. And where is she getting this fuel? Where is this fuel coming from? Right?
It's coming from the Facebook and the social media outrage machine.
Yeah.
You know, it's where you post something with a connotation attached to it, hoping that the confirmation bias and the echo chamber will come in and validate your incredibly bad take. And this is just something that we see all too often in conspiracy-based communities where it's you post something and then you want this opinion and this I don't know exactly how to put it. You want the information to come back to you that you believe in, but at the same time, you're putting something out there that could cause a lot of problems. You could put something out there that causes somebody to harass somebody else or something violent to occur, and especially when it comes to Shasta County and race-based things like this, you're going to inspire somebody to go out and do the same thing. They're going to chase down charter buses and be looking for trouble.
Right.
And something very bad could happen.
Yeah, because then 2 weeks after that, there were more comments added about, did you see the buses at the Gaia? What are they doing there? And people saying that they called the Gaia to find out what these people are doing there. I am so confused about how the existence of humans that look differently than you is so offensive.
It's somehow your business also.
Right. That too.
That's another bottom line, is it not? You're creating some sort of issue around a thing where there is no issue and it is none of your business.
Right.
People are allowed, and if you go by the sovereign citizens of the county, people are allowed to freely move within the borders and without the borders as just a person without harassment or impediment.
Right.
So why do you think that it's your right to just go and chase buses down based on the color of the people who are riding in them and feel like it's okay to harass them based off of whatever your problem is?
It's so dangerous. Yeah,
like
we're going backwards. And I read a quote the other day, and I can't remember who it was, so I'm not going to say who it was, but like a philosopher who said, you know, progress is not promised. This is something we have to work on constantly. And as sad as that is, you think that, you know, we've worked so hard with, like, civil rights movement and trying to get past our ugly history. And instead, now it feels like we're going backwards.
Yeah. I guess one thing that we're lucky about these days is that there's cameras everywhere, and people who step outside of those boundaries of what is right and what is within your rights to do to other people will definitely be exposed, and there will be consequences.
Yeah.
So,
and
people who post videos like that, you know, they better hope that that nothing bad happens. People aren't, you know, assaulted or harassed or anything like that, because I feel like the person who posts that video originally most certainly is responsible if anything like that does happen.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. But, I mean, it's deeper than that. It's not so black and white because, like I asked, where is she getting all of this hate for these people? Like, there are everyday citizens who walk among us, and they get their information off the Internet, and it is our responsibility as people who are on radio and on television and who are posting things on Facebook from a place of power or leadership to do the right thing and not incite these things. And I feel like this resolution was just a fancy way of saying, we're a racist county. Please don't come here.
Yes, and a county that's always been afraid of buses also. Like, it's like really said, like, there's the sexual offender buses, the homeless buses, the illegal buses. It's like, it's for 25 years it's been buses. Why are you so afraid of buses, Shasta?
It's like the scary guy in the minivan.
Yeah.
It's always a minivan whenever something bad goes down.
Oh, man.
What were you
going to
say, Megan?
The resolution, and it just... it legitimizes people harassing citizens who don't look like them. It's a legitimization. County supervisors say, what politicians say, what people who are empowered say, legitimizes harassment. If that's the language they're using, it legitimizes this document. This resolution legitimizes the myth that people who are fleeing violence and are asylum seekers are human traffickers, mm-hmm. are drug mules. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are human traffickers and drug mules, but people who are coming up through our southern border as refugees or asylum seekers, there's a difference, people. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Are more likely to be victims than perpetrators of criminal activity.
Like we were talking about it before the show mm-hmm. started, about having to make that choice to send your child with a coyote.
Yeah, exactly.
And not know for sure where they're going to end up at the other end, and hoping that the people on the other side are going to have compassion for your child.
Yeah.
And compassion for you.
I like that you use that word compassion, because I feel like there's a complete lack of compassion amongst us as a collective for people who are making these decisions and not pausing and saying, what kind of horrific condition must it be that they're sending their children out? Because that's the best condition they can think of. And not only that in many of these places in Central America, the conditions are created by us, mm-hmm. by our foreign policy,
right?
Purposefully destabilizing governments we don't want down there, and destabilizing efforts to have real, true democracy. The School of the Americas comes to mind. Training violent. Militia types,
mm-hmm.
and creating this drug cartel war is what I would call it, and the gangs, and then the gangs come to the villages and try to recruit people, and if you don't go, they kill your family. So of course they're going to try to get their kids out.
Right.
And horrific conditions. Or one young man I spoke to a few years ago. It was pre-COVID, so it's in the time warp. But it was pre-COVID. I went with a group of pastors with a group in Los Angeles called Matthew 25 to the migrant camps in Tijuana, mm-hmm. and spoke to one young man who was an activist for justice and for ecological justice, particularly for indigenous peoples, and he had to flee, so he joined a group coming up, and I talked to many people who they just had to flee for mm-hmm. whatever reason.
Right.
And if you've never had to flee your home for a reason, stop pretending you understand what they should do or shouldn't do.
Right.
Or how they could have done something differently.
Right. That I heard so many times a few years ago when children were being taken from their parents at the border. Well, the parents shouldn't be coming here illegally. Right. They should know better. And I keep going back to, I have three children of my own.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine being in that situation where I had to make that choice.
Right. Right. And it goes back to the fact that if one is an asylum seeker, one must come to a border agent, a border crossing,
right.
and present oneself and say, I am here to seek asylum. You can go to the U.S. immigration page. It
specifically says you must be inside the country, not a citizen.
Right. So we're going to come back to that in just a minute. We got to take a break.
Turtle Bay's Gloaming Wild Lantern Festival is now extended through June 2nd due to popular demand at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., featuring 10 acres of illuminated botanical gardens filled with larger-than-life Asian lanterns, plus music, food and drinks, fun interactive activities, live performances on select nights, and much more. Gloaming Wild Lantern Festival, open now through June 2nd. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Hi friends, Tobacco and Brew here with a new cigar of the humidor, La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Straight from the estate of Don Pepin Garcia comes this excellently crafted cigar. Profound notes of nougat, leather, molasses, and cedar please the palate throughout. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Be sure to get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
And we are back for our last 15-minute segment before we take calls. So, Ashley, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I need myself on my side. So I'm
No worries. Okay, I just wanted to give you a chance to chime in. Since I can't see your face, I don't ever know if there's something important you want to add.
For sure. No, the only thing that I would add is just because somebody is seeking asylum also doesn't mean that they're poor.
Right.
Like the idea,
yeah.
The idea that everybody that comes over the border seeking asylum should be wearing like ratty clothes and no shoes and like is ridiculous to me.
Yeah,
and also that crossing the border illegally, even if you're not seeking asylum, is only a misdemeanor. So it's not like it's not like it's some huge federal felony that these people are coming over the border and committing every single day.
Right.
It's the sensationalism and how all of this whole situation is blown so far out of proportion,
mm-hmm.
It makes you also kind of turn around and think, so who benefits from pushing this particular narrative and why?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, follow the money in any sort of, you know, local or beyond type of, platform, right-sided platform, and you'll see where it comes from.
Right.
You know, it's just, and it's sad, and it does lack compassion, which is ironic from a bunch of people who would say that they're deeply, deeply faithful.
Yeah, that's the part that was a big exhale.
A cognitive discharge.
The big exhale for me, because
again, like I talked about on one of the other shows, about how I feel like there's this big group of people who have hijacked Jesus as their mascot to do horrible things, say horrible things, push horrible narratives in the name of Jesus.
And amen.
It's so, I don't know, it's just offensive to me. And I think it's so wrong. But
it's offensive to me as somebody who is not religious. I find it offensive.
Yeah.
Yes. In fact, in the Tanakh, really, the Hebrew Bible, what Christians call the Old Testament, 36 times, I think it is, God tells us to welcome the stranger.
Mm-hmm.
That one should treat the alien among us as a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole cherry picking battle going around of more conservative, more progressive people. But I think you can't say, okay, we're going to look at this stuff ethically. What is our ethical compass coming from these documents and not take that seriously?
Mm-hmm.
How are we welcoming the stranger? How are we doing what we can? We say we don't have resources, but we do. It's how we allocate them. We choose not to allocate them mm-hmm. in a way that would be more welcoming to those who have nothing.
Right.
And also, as you so cogently put, not all people coming who are fleeing are poor or
right.
have no resources.
And Sheriff Johnson said that in his presentation, right? He said, you should see these people. They're coming over with Nikes and with cell phones as if they don't deserve to seek asylum because they have Nikes and cell phones.
Wouldn't you, this is a narrative too, though, but and wouldn't you, if you were fleeing everything you had, wouldn't you put on your best clothes that you owned? Wouldn't you bring your cell phone? Wouldn't you do what you could to look your best and have things that were your nicest things.
Like even some of our exchange students who mm-hmm. stayed here that are living in Gaza now, we hear from them through their cell phone.
Right. Exactly.
They're in a war-torn situation right now, but they're trying to use whatever they have, whatever access they have, to get the message out. And that's,
right.
I mean, your form of communication to survive these days is a cell phone.
Yeah.
But I don't want to ignore either that or sound like, you know, we're ignoring the fact that sometimes bad people come.
Right.
Of course.
Of course they do.
Of course there are murderers on both sides of the border. There are drug dealers on both sides of the border. This is not if we find a murderer amongst the illegal, again, I don't even like to use that term, but the term they use, stealing their term, an illegal comes here and commits a crime, that somehow that lumps every human that looks like them, speaks like them, comes from the same place.
I think that there has to be a balance between assuring that we're doing what we can at our borders to have orderly passage, orderly immigration, whatever that may mean. I don't think the answer is xenophobic protectionism.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, and often it feels to me that those promoting real solutions are shouted down, and those who claim the invasion narrative just cling to this xenophobic protectionism.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder sometimes, I think it comes from a fear that things feel unfamiliar. It comes from a fear that your voice is no longer automatically centered
mm-hmm.
since the civil rights movement and the movements coming after, and that it's okay to allow other voices to truly mix in. We have a long history of quotas and ideas about lines and fairness, but no consistent way of admitting immigrants. And there's a lot of, like you were saying
mm-hmm.
at the break, inherent bias.
Mm-hmm. Implicit bias.
Implicit bias
yeah.
that we have. I mean, I fight my own implicit bias.
Sure, we all do.
But But this document, again, is about profiling. It's about encouraging implicit bias and harassing certain people.
Right. And so for anyone listening who doesn't know what implicit bias is, I have the definition here. It includes the subconscious feelings, attitudes, prejudices, and stereotypes an individual has developed due to prior influences. Perceptions instead of facts and observations affect their decision making. So one example can be something as benign as when we hear the term nurse, we think of female.
Right.
When we hear the term doctor, we think of male. Right. So it can be as simple as that. But it becomes very dangerous when we do that with these things that are so hot topic, and when human beings are involved and their lives and their well-being are at stake.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're pushing that narrative of fear that these people are coming to take what's yours, they're coming to harm your family, they're coming to, you know, I mean, I don't want to go too far into some of the things that have been said because I'm not even sure that it's okay for radio, but, you know, it's, you know, this just push of like fear mongering all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I would be, you do become fearful of the unknown when you live in a cacophony of bad. All
right.
Of this is bad. And if these human beings come here, it's going to affect you in a negative way. And again, Sheriff Johnson gave no proof of anyone locally who's taking our resources or, you know.
He gave no proof. He had a big arrow.
Yes.
With no proof of what's coming. Except that he was saying it was fentanyl and sex traffickers, but he had no data to show where the impact of that beyond the fact that I-5 has been a drug highway.
since I've
been cognizant of it.
Right.
Yeah, same. But also, and along those lines, he did also point out something else that was interesting, that was mostly U.S. citizens who had dual residency that were a large portion of bringing in drugs and things like that. So,
well, and
they choose to omit that fact as soon as they heard it.
Yeah, and that also points to the data that we get over and over that immigrants tend to commit fewer crimes than native-born Americans in the crime-related data that you can see it.
Right.
That actually. Yeah, they're less likely to commit felonies.
Right.
But they also conveniently omit the fact that there's also a Canadian border and that a large portion of quote-unquote illegal immigration is people overstaying visas. So there are so many other factors that go into these things that are just, they're not convenient to the narrative, so they're completely omitted, which goes back to your point of education.
Education, right. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there are people that overstay student visas, work visas, all kinds of visas.
Mm-hmm.
I knew there was a, when I was in seminary, there was a group that would come for seminary and then they would go home and get married and come back and start having children.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just another, these are not, to our south, I say this just as another narrative of ways that people overstay visas that we don't think about. It's complex.
Right. Yeah. Going back to that original post and then the post that came after the fact, because I feel like when these things happen, when we have people in power who are continue to project these narratives, there's always a backlash. There's always going to be something that's going to, something bad's going to happen. You continue to say the same thing over and over again, something bad's going to happen. We only have, 30 seconds, so I guess we will tackle that when we come back. But, Ashley, which one are you on, 45-67 or 45-66?
I'm on 66, so call okay. on 67.
All right, callers, call in after the break, 605-4567. 605-4567. And we're going to head to break. Thank you.
The war was raging, hot to a desert. She told the youth, get ready, they're going to make it. Run for your life, she tells them, the wars are raging. Peace should be in your future, it's for the taking. I'm a refugee, come around here, come around here.
Attention all gardening enthusiasts. It's time to celebrate 50 years of greenery and growth at Gold Leaf Nursery in Reading. That's right, folks. For almost a half a century, Gold Leaf Nursery has been your go-to destination for all things garden-related. And to mark this incredible milestone, they're throwing the biggest sale this year. The nursery is blooming with vibrant perennials and annuals, hardy shrubs, succulents, and majestic trees, vegetables, herbs, roses, ground coverings, along with 1 gallon or larger and all-bag soil amendments. Their extensive selection ensures that there's something for every taste and style. And don't forget about their premium selection of statuaries, fountains, and bird baths to add that perfect finishing touch. At Gold Leaf Nursery, they're not just about selling plants. They're about cultivating joy, creating memories, and nurturing connections with nature. Come visit them today and let them help turn your outdoor space into a sanctuary you'll love coming home to. Thanks for voting Gold Leaf Nursery best in the North State. Come check them out on Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road. Open Tuesday through Saturday.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best-tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
At Black Bear Diner, sandwich stacks are here, and they're tall on irresistible flavors. Indulge in a double bacon stack, hand-breaded crispy chicken stack, a tri-tip cheddar stack, or a crispy cod stack. There's a stack for everyone. Get yours today at Black Bear Diner. Now available for limited time. Served all day, every day. In Reading on Hilltop Drive, order one now at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Back, and we are taking calls, and our first caller is Anita. Hi, Anita. Maybe. Anita, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. There was a little lag there. And you're calling from the
East. I guess we are talking across the country.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You're calling from the East Coast, and it's got to be late there.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
What did you want to add, or did you have some questions to add?
Well, I wanted to add that when I read the post in, on your Facebook site today with the clips by the local domestic terrorists, and I felt compelled to follow through, especially with the Gaia. I attended events there, and I, in fact, paid them a lot of money to have a memorial celebration there. And I just thought they can't be giving information out about guests that arrive in buses or any guests.
Right.
And at first I was a little bit hesitant because I didn't want anybody to be in trouble and lose their job because, you know, that might be a firing offense. But I decided I did get the emails for the general manager and the assistant, and I did email them. I heard back very promptly from the general manager, Victor Alvarez, and he said that he would follow up on it. He asked me where I, you know, had seen the post, that I let him know. And he mentioned in my first reply that he and Paulo, who's the assistant, are both Mexican-Americans, and they would never disparage fellow Hispanics, regardless of the circumstances. And then he did find video. They do have video, probably in the parking lot and for security and in the reception area. And he said that they did find that there was a woman who was trying to speak with people on a bus, that no staff were approached. And he said, plus, everybody's well aware that you don't give information to a third party about a guest.
Yeah, right.
So it's like maybe she was Lori, who supposedly was reporting her interaction, was maybe stretching the truth.
Yeah.
And he also added the comment. He said, ours is a diverse team made up of good people from varied backgrounds. We work with and respect each other day in and day out. We do not partake in politics. And he said, I've not heard of any tour bus operator using our property to house undocumented workers. Sincerely doubt this is the case in this instance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I replied to him that that's probably not enough, you know, evidence for these local domestic terrorists.
Because we're all tasked with proving them wrong.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And then I started thinking about it, and I did a very extensive bus tour in Ireland with my mother and husband years ago. And I thought, you know, what if I had exited the bus and we had been approached and given the third degree by a local?
Right.
And at the time, America wasn't really popular. It was during the Bush administration, and we had just started the the war. And so, I mean, we've spent most of our time explaining that we had not voted for Bush, and so, you know, please don't hold us responsible, because Ireland was just a little irritated at the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I thought about it, and I thought, you know, if we'd been given third degree by people, locals, when we got off the bus, we probably would have asked the tour director to please take us to another town.
Right. Yeah.
And I've sent follow-up emails to both Shasta Cascade Tourism and Visit Reading Tourism sites, asking that they, to make sure they know about what's being done. And secondly, to know that, you know, it's not going to take long for word to get out. And these buses are going to reroute and just drive right through Shasta County.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's a very good point, Anita. Thank you. Because we do have tours.
I mean, think of how much Shasta County relies on tourism. It's way up there.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's not going to take more than one or two of these instances. And especially with the bad publicity we already get for some of the decisions made by both the city and the county.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
So, yeah, I was very concerned about it. And, you know, again, since I'd done a bus tour, I thought, you know, it wouldn't have taken me long where I wouldn't have spent a cent in the town where I was treated like
that. Right, exactly. I've always thought, it's so ironic that the people who are so fearful of Hispanics in our town spend Christmas in Cabo.
Yeah, exactly.
All the time.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know. The irony is just not missed on me.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of Asian tourists, too, that do the bus tour.
Sure, yeah.
And I know from having an Asian member of family, they are, you know, treated horribly.
Mm-hmm.
And I in Shasta County, and in other places in California, especially since COVID. But I just, you know, it's just these people just have no idea. I mean, first of all, they're just being suckered and acting like idiots.
Right.
And secondly, you know, they're having such a disastrous financial impact on our poor little county.
Yeah. Yeah, a county that's kind of already struggling.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, especially when their political leaders spend money on things that are not to the best interests of the community.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, like, when there's this baiting going on, they don't spend time on the things that do matter and the real problems. Like, we're fighting fake problems a lot. Like when Sheriff Johnson said, they're not here yet, but they're coming.
We're getting
ready. We got to get the troops ready. And
we've got the Republicans on a campaign to stop illegals from voting. Well, they don't vote now.
They don't vote now. Exactly. I know. The misinformation is probably
it's
the biggest.
Disheartening, for sure.
Yeah. Our biggest struggle.
Well, having been born and bred in Shasta County, I feel it's very close to my heart. I'm going to follow through. I'm going to make sure that we get some publicity, especially on this, because it's just unacceptable.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you following through with that and bringing us some real facts.
Yeah. It's helpful.
Yeah. Always helpful.
And I'm sure that if any of the staff spoke out of turn to anybody, they've all been reminded.
Right.
Yeah.
And I hope that every hotel and business in the area will remind their employees.
Right.
You know, you don't talk to random people that come up and approach you about other customers.
Yeah. But.
So.
Not professional.
All right. Well, I hope you have a good rest of your evening.
Thanks, you too. It's bedtime where you are.
Yes, it is. Especially at my age.
We'll get some sleep.
Take care. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We're down to the last 4 minutes. Any closing thoughts?
No, go ahead.
Go, Ashley.
I would just like to say that in the future, if anybody sees any coach buses or anything around that you may think is sus, just go on about your day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the most you could do.
This That last post, there was a little tagline on there that said, Kevin Cry would like to know as well. So when you find out, I will pass it on. That's what Michelle Dugar said in that post.
Yeah, it seems like that's something that people should ask him about at the next BOS meeting.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is next Tuesday, by the way, 9 o'clock. Normal time.
Yeah. Not a nighttime one that went to midnight again?
No.
Yeah. Those are rough. All right. Megan, did you have something to say?
I just want to say that I just hope that we can all come to a space where we treat one another with compassion, where we don't profile people, where we understand that people have stories that we know nothing about, that we cannot assume who someone is by looking at them, and that we can come to a place in this county that where people want to come here. People want to come to this beautiful place and meet the beautiful people here, and we're not creating a climate of fear, but of compassion and welcome.
Right. Compassion, empathy. Mm-hmm. And that leads me to my closing thoughts. And I found this poem earlier today by Morgan Harper Nichols, and it's called Empathy. And it says, "Let me hold the door for you. I may have never walked in your shoes, but I can see your souls are worn. Your strength is torn under the weight of a story I have never lived before. Let me hold the door for you. After all, you've walked through. It's the least I can do." I just feel like empathy is such an important characteristic to have when dealing with anything that you don't know about. If you don't have the education behind you, you don't have the facts behind you, to always lean in to empathy. Lean into compassion, because we don't know people's stories. What we do know is that when we continue the narrative of hate and fear, then we produce more hate and fear. And that's it for me. Those are my 2 cents for
Beautiful.
The evening. All right. Thank you, Megan, for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you, Shay.
Appreciate you. Any last words from you as we say goodnight?
Definitely tune in next week, because it's going to be a banger. And speak up at your local meetings, people.
That's right. Chimenti is with us next week.
Yes.
Yay.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. Thank you, and good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
We look to the children, we stray from the fountain.
seek my source for some definitives. Closer I am to find. Closer I am to find. Closer I am to find. Yeah.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.